Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful retired compulsive overeater and the moderator for your meeting this morning. Today is Friday, July 17th, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at page XIX, the forward to the second edition, starting with the first paragraph, beginning with "As we discovered the principles," and we're going to be reading through that one paragraph only, and it ends with public controversies. So we'll be commenting on this one paragraph. Today's readers are Pam M. for the 12 steps, Carrie H. for the 12 traditions. The readers of our text are Julie E. B., Lynette P., and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R., and Dawn B. will be giving our announcements, and Ramona A. is our recording person. Thank you all for your service this morning. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, July 16th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,994. That's 14994. And the share ID for this morning's July 17th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,998. That's 14998. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pam M. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Pam.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list to all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, everyone. I look forward to hearing your shares. Namaste.
And thank you for your service this morning, Pam M. And good morning, Carrie H. You'll be reading our 12 traditions this morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. My name is Carrie H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace.
I've got the 12 steps right here. Let me get excited.
Hang on. This is so okay. Okay. Oh, man.
Terry, do you need some help with that? We can get Lord Nell to step in.
No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I got the template.
Go
I
ahead,
just turned the wrong page.
Thank you, Terry.
Okay, once again, let's start again. This is Terry H. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered through God's grace one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement of OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, proceed to divert us from our primary purpose. 7, our OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever a non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as a whole ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. And 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media and communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all those traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry H., for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that does include your mute button, your personal mute button on your phone. Please use star 1 to mute and unmute, and that way we have a nice quiet meeting. And thanks for your cooperation. We appreciate that. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page Roman numeral XIX, that means 19, forward to the second edition. And we're starting with the first paragraph as we discovered the principles, and we're reading through that one paragraph only, ending with public controversies. And will Julie E.B. please get us started reading here. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, moving to a quiet space. Glad to be with you today. As we discovered the principles by which we individual alcoholic could live, so we had to evolve principles by which the AA groups and AA as a whole could survive and function effectively. It was thought that no alcoholic man or woman could be excluded from our society, that our leaders might serve but never govern, that each group was to be autonomous, and there was to be no professional class of therapy. There were to be no fees or dues. Our expenses were to be met by our own voluntary contributions. There was to be the least possible organization, even in our service centers. Our public relations were to be based on attraction rather than promotion. It was decided that all members ought to be anonymous at the level of press, radio, and TV and films, and in no circumstances should we give endorsements, make alliances, or enter public controversies. Well, I'm just really grateful for that. This text this morning. For me, I too, like other people have shared, would shrug and kind of shrink when principal meetings came about. So one day I went into a principal meeting in my OA, which was about fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And I was struggling with what to do with my young adult children, who were sort of independent and thought they were independent, except I was paying a lot of the ticket. And so I sat down with each one of them, two of them now, they've gone off to college. One will be going off, but of course two of them will be home because of COVID, doing school from home. But anyway, it's really sitting down with them and saying, hey, look, I want you to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. But you know what? And that's what I want you to work towards. And so for me, that principle was really helpful in terms of, okay, this is what you provide, this is what I provide, this is what I expect, this is what you expect. Same thing in my life, you know. I don't always like to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Sometimes I think that I can't be okay if not for other people. And in this program, I find freedom when I can be okay regardless of other people. We want to function effectively. And to function effectively, we have to stay out of public controversies, which is very difficult, you know, in this time when there's so much stress in our society. You know, I really have seen over these last months how, whether it's 10 steps or different discussions, people get triggered. There's lots of fear, lots of resentment, and lots of guilt, and lots of chance then to practice my program. I always have to remember that I'm not good. My best ideas are not a good way to lead a group meeting. And that if someone's sharing something that's difficult for me, I can get into a 10 step and I can find out where I can be more free from this type of voice. And so I love that no one can be excluded. And I'll close with this story that the meeting that I first went to in 12 step was started by a person who came by themselves to that meeting for about 3 months. And that's where I met my first sponsor. As the group grew and there was some controversy, there really was a push to get that person and their strong ideas, which had really helped form and shape the group out. And eventually that person did stop coming, and she was deeply missed by me because she, like me, was a difficult person to get along with. That's how I see myself, especially out of recovery. And God uses me anyway. We can be effective, broken people that we are. God uses us anyway. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Lee B., for getting us started this morning. So just reminding everybody, we're in the Forge of the Second Edition, Roman numeral XIX. That's Roman numeral 19. And it begins with the first paragraph, as we discovered the principles by which that's where we start, ending with that one paragraph and ending with public controversies. And so who would like to share this morning? And I just want to remind you, although we do I'm sorry, I just need to finish this one statement. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, strength, and hope. So with that being said, who would like to share this morning?
Pam
M. Okay, I think I heard, was that Pam M?
Yes.
Got you, Pam. And then I heard Bruce E.
Kathy K, please.
I'm sorry?
Kathy K from Sacramento.
Kathy K from Sacramento. Okay, thank you, Kathy K. And who else would like to share this morning?
Terry S.
Terry S. is in Sam?
Yes, in Oregon.
Okay, thank you, everyone. All right, and I can take one more.
Lynette P.
Lynette P. Okay. From Southern California. Okay. All right, so we have Pam M., Bruce E., Kathy K., Terry S., Lynette P. Pam M., you're up, followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Pam M. Star 1 to unmute, Pam M. Okay.
Blessed morning. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. So what really stands out for me as a compulsive overeater is that our public relations were based on attraction rather than promotion. And, you know, when I started in OA, I got really excited about it, and I was, you know, shouting from the rooftops about it. And, you know, I wasn't getting a lot of interest. And now that I'm moving towards my normal body weight, it's people are attracted to ask me questions about it. And I do really feel that that's a really important part of this equation, because as a newcomer, when I came in, first of all, we have to maintain our spiritual fitness as sponsors. We absolutely must, as recovered individuals. But we also need to have that normal body weight, because as a newcomer, my eyes are still thinking, I want to be thin. You know, I want to be normal. And so who did I ask to be my sponsor? Was the thinnest person, the thin person in the room. And that's always how it worked. I did that twice. I asked the thin person to be my sponsor. So I feel like it's really important that we all are knowing that this is how we all, this is how we work, and that we are working to towards that healthy body weight. We don't have to have a healthy body weight. We don't have to be there to be sponsoring. You know, I myself still have probably another 30 or 40 pounds to go. But I mean, I was starting at, you know, needing to lose, you know, 90. So I feel like that's really a really important part of the equation. And the people around us will start to ask questions naturally. And it is, it's just a natural unfolding of people's interest rising, as not only are you gaining spiritual fitness, but you're also gaining physical fitness. Rather than, you know, trying to live in what I guess I've heard it called a fat serenity, you know, your body is going to change once you get totally abstinent and you start to really live these steps and surrender your food. And that is going to bring you even more recovery. And this is how the program grows, is that we people can physically see results and feel your emotional, mental, spiritual sobriety. So with that, I pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Pam M. And Bruce E., good morning. And you'll be followed by Kathy K. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Bruce, recovered food addict in Southwest Florida. Thank you, everybody. So this discovered the principles by which the individual alcoholic could live. So the principles are I'm not sure what a principle is, but I think it, what it does was, is it has substance and it gives structure, you know. So we're pretty loose, we're easy going, we're kind of, you know, free about everything. But then we have to have some structure around this thing. And I like this about the kids being self-supporting. That's the best thing I've heard in a long time. Because I've got four daughters. And, yeah, man, I got to apply this principle to them. They all got to be self-supporting. But I am very fortunate because they're all adults. And the last time we had a daughter come and borrow money from us, I remember a number of times we just had to say no. You know, no, not going to happen. But we did have a daughter come and borrow money from us a number of times. And that worked out. She said, Dad, I'll pay it. You know, as soon as I get a paycheck next month, I'll pay it back. And she did. And it's been about 3 or 4 years since she's asked. So she's got her act together pretty much now, I think, on that. So I might get a call this afternoon. She might want money anyway. But I'll have to deal with that as it comes, if it comes. So The part here about each cruise has to be autonomous and about this thing, and we have to encourage anonymity. Right now, we had a, it says here, it was decided that our members ought to be anonymous at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. Well, why is that? Because I'm on such an ego trip all the time, or part of the time, or some of the time, excuse me, that I'd like to have my name in the, I'd like to, you know, okay, Bruce is recovered. He ought to have his name in the newspaper, over the radio, on TV, and in films, because he's recovered, you know. So I want a standing ovation for taking the garbage out, right? So I want to have my name in lights. But see, I might go and relapse if I get my name in the newspaper. I might turn around and relapse, and then how many people is that going to hurt besides me? You know, a lot of others. So we don't do that. I've got a big ego, so I got to keep it out of everything. And I got to work on, you know, slimming down this ego as much as possible. So here, an example here on this press thing. Oh, thank you. And I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brucey. Good morning, mm-hmm. Kathy Kay. You're up, followed by Terry S.
Good morning, everyone. Kathy Kay from Sacramento. Grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, one day at a time. By God's grace, the big book, and all of you. I'm so grateful to be awake and present for this meeting. It's 7 a.m. in California, which is a little early for like me, recovering sloth. You know, I just really wish that other groups in my life would function the way that the 12-step groups do, and so grateful for the original members of AA who set up these principles by which the groups govern, because it does make the singleness of purpose that we so desperately need be our primary focus. And I am someone who is a 100-pounder, and I came into OA in 2000, and I lost a ton of weight, and I was not yet spiritually or emotionally recovered. And I started thinking that I was the bee's knees. And, you know, when you start getting a lot of attention because of your physical recovery, as someone who had never gotten positive attention for their weight ever before, then it goes to your head. And I only say that to kind of go back and think about, you know, I've been someone in the meetings who has talked a good game of thinking my life was great at 400 pounds. I need 3 joints replaced. It wasn't great. And so I appreciate hearing about our need to remember that we sit on a three-legged stool, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. And I don't know what God's will for me is. I don't know what weight I'm supposed to be at, but I know I'm supposed to have joints that work with a lot less pain than they do now, a lot more functionality than they do now. And I only get that way by abstaining one meal at a time, one bite at a time, one day at a time. And so that's why I wake up to these meetings, because it is an absolutely fundamental way for me to start my day in the positivity and the good choices that I can make through program. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy K. And Terry S., you're up, followed by Lynette P. Good morning, Terry S.
Hey, good morning. This is Terry S. in Oregon, recovering food addict. And, the comment I wanted to make, there is a lot of history around the traditions and how they developed it. And I'm not an AA historian. But what I wanted to share was, we're talking about the principles, and here they are. Step 1 is honesty.
Step two is hope. Step three is faith. Step four is courage. Step five, integrity. Step six, willingness. Step seven, humility. Step eight, self-discipline. Step nine, love. Step 10, perseverance. Step 11, spiritual awareness. And step 12, service. This is an awfully big set of shoes to fill. And my hope is because a bunch of white dudes that were completely hopeless alcoholics in the 1930s figured this out, that I can trust that my higher power will lead me into these a day at a time as I'm going through my life. And the one thing that gives me the ability to continue to persevere is they wrote in the big book, this is the work of a lifetime. It's not an overnight matter. These are ideals for me to strive for. This is not the perfection of my life. The reality of perfection in my life is pretty minimal, I'm learning. But these principles give me something to cling to. And this is such a better way of life than being in the food and being insane. It'd be interesting to look up the opposites of all of these because, boy, that's where I lived. So with that, I will pass, and everybody have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Terry S. Lynette P., and before we hear from Lynette P., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on Roman numeral XIX, Roman numeral 19. We're at the first paragraph, as we discover the principles, and it ends with public controversy. And we're going to comment on that one paragraph. We're going to hear from Lynette P., and then I'll take some more names after Lynette P. Good morning, Lynette.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everybody. This is Lynette P. in Southern California, recovered. And just looking overall at the message here, what it describes to me, or what I see, is a program developed or run from the ground up, you know, rather than top down. And I think it continues that way for the most part. You know, they wanted the least possible organization, not top heavy. I think that's helpful and effective for us. And the 12 traditions and these principles, you know, it says for the groups to survive, and I think it's just not even just survive, but to grow and thrive to this day. I think the principles hopefully clear away any potential obstacles for entry or attraction to the program. And also, hopefully, it promotes a safe place for fellows. I think with AA's traditions adopted, I can focus on our primary purpose of carrying the message. You know, I needed to recover, and with the traditions in place, supporting groups, I think I have a solid, open, inclusive fellowship in which I can recover and continue, and in which I can continue to expand my spiritual life as I'm working with others, working with my sponsor. So I really appreciate the traditions of AA and OA, and I'm grateful for the process that AA went through over the years to stabilize that foundation. I remember years ago in a meeting, many years ago, there was a gentleman, and he stayed for quite a few years. He was an entrepreneur, and he commented in the meeting about our business model. He looked at it that way, and he was really, really impressed. He studied everything. And so I think whichever way one looks at it, I think our program with these traditions and principles, I think it's very smart and effective, and I think it's looking out for the greater good, the fellows, and for our recovery. And I feel like I'm proud to be in the program and to have this supporting me and supporting our groups. And thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Lynette P. So who would like to share on Roman numeral XIX, the first paragraph?
Michelle
J. Renata,
I'm sorry. Hold on just 1 second, folks. I just want to remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order for others to share. So with that being said, who would like to share?
Christina J.
Okay, three people came in at once.
Christina J.
Okay, Christina J.
Michelle J.
Ah, that's why. Okay.
Renata A.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Renata F.
Renina
F.
First name, please.
Renata.
Rayetta?
Yes.
Rayetta, okay. And at last initial is F, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Rayetta. All right, and who else would like to go?
Georgie.
Back to George.
E, Georgie.
I heard you, Georgie.
Melanie C.
I'm sorry, who C?
Melanie.
Okay. Melanie C. And who else would like to go?
Linnea B.
Okay, I think I heard Linnea B.
Yes.
And then I heard somebody else, and if we can, I'll try to get you in there. What was that last person, please?
I'm Michelle J., and I'm not sure if I got in.
Yes, you did, Michelle. You certainly
okay.
did. I got you in there, the second one. Who was after Linnea? Okay, well, for saving time, let's just go ahead and we'll see if anybody else comes in when we have time. All right, Christina J., you're up, followed by Michelle J. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for letting me share. I'm grateful. This paragraph is loaded for me. I think back to when I was a child, and I think, gosh, what if I'd gotten trained in this way, the principles by which I could live as a child? I would have a whole different life, I think, because I got my marching orders when I was just an infant, really. And those marching orders were put on your boots, and you're going to have an insecure ego. And for 60 years of your life, you're going to march, and you're going to jump up and down, and you're going to try to prove to everyone that you're lovable, that you can be validated, that you're a decent person, that you don't have to, that you have to work extra hard to get love. And so by then, I followed those orders. I followed them. They were in my bones. But those soles on those boots wore out. And they begin to fall apart probably around 58, 59. Now I'm 61, and they don't work anymore, and they haven't worked. And I keep trying to put them back on and keep marching, but they don't work. But in this book, I have what they are discussing here, and I'm so glad someone read the principles. That was beautiful. That's a high order, but it's progress, not perfection, on the spiritual plane for me. And as long as I work this book and these steps, those things unveil themselves daily, and I get to taste them each. I get to taste being of service. I get to taste surviving and functioning each day effectively in peace with the food down and following this work. And as long as when I do get restless, irritable, and discontent, for the smallest thing, I don't blow it off like I've done all my life and say, oh, I can handle this. It's no big deal. I don't want to bother anybody with this. I pick up the damn phone, or I bow my head and say a prayer. I pause. I'm a person that go, 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 go. So I've got to work this program because my soul is damaged, and I need to. This program helps me heal it, and it takes me to serving. I don't have to dance on tables anymore. I don't have to try to prove myself. God loves me, and all of you who understand this disease. I was talking to my sponsor this morning, and why did I go to the rooms even though no recovery was really happening? Because I felt accepted and loved, and there was something there. You guys understood me. I'm so grateful that I can be on the line with voices, people I've never seen, and so my judgment is being trained. I don't have to judge people by how they look or if they have extra weight and think that they're not recovered. Because we all carry a little extra weight at some point, well, not all of us, but some. At any rate, I do speak about my recovery,
huh?
And the program. Okay, I'm going to close up here. But I don't push it on anybody because I think everyone in the world could benefit from these principles in this program. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Michelle J., you're up, followed by Rayetta F. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Good morning. It's a beautiful Friday morning here in Arkansas. And I am Michelle J., a recovered and always recovering, and God is revealing more and more to me each day from a life of overeating, self-indulgence, and more. Well, you know, the traditions are this beautiful boundaries that lead us into a very kind and considerate and grace-filled way to work a program, to find recovery. It kind of keeps us focused, these traditions, on where it needs to be. When I started almost 2 years ago in OA, I called up this Christian psychologist and said, man, I think I have an eating disorder. And he led me to a book. And then I read the book, and it said, find a face-to-face OA meeting. And then I went to Vision, and then I got a sponsor, and that sponsor didn't click, but I went to another sponsor. All that being said is these were men and women and people. But then I found the big book and program and the process, and then it started redirecting all that. I stopped relying upon this beautiful wisdom that people had. We need each other, and we're there. But I recognized in program that it's not the people's wisdom or the power or their plans. It's God's. And so therefore we get this spiritual awakening and we get this psychic change in our minds. The monkeys stop talking. And then our whole lives begin to change. We get from the inside out, our bodies, our minds, and our souls. And just back to the traditions, it's just, you know, these are just these healthy guides that keep us from being self-centered, self-gods, playing gods, being in control, and turning things over in a very kind and gentle way, and keeping us being considerate to one another and open to God and all that comes with all of this. And so the traditions are no longer a boring thing to listen to anymore. Listen to them again with an open mind and an open heart, and just see what God has to tell you about them today. They change a little bit every day in my heart. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. And Rayetta F., you're up, followed by Georgie. Good morning, Rayetta. Star 1 to unmute, please. Rayetta?
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Good morning.
So my name is Rayetta F. I'm from Connecticut. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am just beginning this program. I'm at step three, or trying to step over into step three, shall I say. This is only my fourth meeting that I've heard. I actually was really nervous to come on the line and speak, but I'm so excited to be here, and I'm learning very quickly how important the fellowship is. And when we think about the principles and guidelines, I'm an educator, and, you know, I spend my day teaching children and making sure they're following the rules. So this guideline and principle piece is extremely important for someone like me who needs that guidance. To me, that's just a roadmap to life. And I agree with some of the words of people have already spoken, that these guidelines and principles can apply to everybody. And if we had those kind of guidelines with everybody, I think we would have a better world. But, you know, as I'm beginning in this journey, these principles are just the right things to do. So I'm super excited to continue on this journey and make these principles a daily part of my life, which they have not been in the past. So thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Rayetta F. All right, George E., you're followed by Melanie C. Good morning, Georgie.
Well, good morning, Nation. Georgie, recovering compulsive eater, Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm actually sitting in a parking lot of one of those vacant face-to-face meetings. I And I come here even though nobody comes, and I tune into the show, and I read the paragraph, and listen to y'all. And I, too, was grateful that somebody read the principles, even though I haven't taped to my mirror. I probably ignore them. I've always visualized them as working the steps in reverse. If I'm not practicing or trying to practice one of the principles, I'm probably about to fall off that step. And we all know where the bottom step leads. So I'm grateful for a program. I don't work it perfectly. I don't know why I prefer face-to-face meetings. I guess I do. Maybe because visual proof is the least important kind, as it says in Lee Gnostics. I get very uncomfortable with traditional Evan, and what I got out of this paragraph today was not just that it's attraction, not promotion, but I think the preface was published, 47, second edition? I don't have those facts at my fingertip, but at this time, I don't think the traditions had actually been published, at least not in the 12 and 12 as of yet. And it is, the history is relevant because it's not, the way it's done now may not be the way it was done then. I'm sure there was a lot of resistance. People said, well, we got our meetings. We don't need rules. And I think that's an important concept because principles are not rules. William F. Fox explains it as a principle would be water seeking its own level. And so the real principles are God-given. It's the rules that are man-given. And I should close because I'm actually rambling, but I used to refer to the AA Big Book as the big book. And in a way you could refer to the principles as the new testament. That's all I have. Everybody have a great weekend.
Georgie, Melanie C, you're up, followed by Linnea B. Good morning, Melanie C.
Good morning. Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. And I'm looking at this, and of course, as we're talking about it, it's the formation of the traditions that we're going to help some erstwhile people be able to work with each other because there were differences clearly. And it was very, very, very effective as they outlined each one of these things here. And then I pull them over into the Big Book study meeting that I am so privileged to be a part of on a daily basis here that we just happen to call a vision for you. And remember back, we're going to have an 8th anniversary here this Sunday. And I look back all those years to see, just a handful of people that got together that we simply were just more than a moderate eater, more than a hard eater. We were the real alcoholic, so to say, as a compulsive overeater that wanted to get together to continue to study a big book that brought us the recovery that we had looked for in the entire times that we had been in OA. And we were friends together. And things, came out from then, and there was a story behind that sort of thing. But we knew that in our hearts that we wanted this to be the least organized because we were simply a big book study. We weren't representing anything other than how can we understand how to stay recovered better so that we can transfer it to somebody else so no one else has to say, gosh, I never heard that in these rooms. I've been in these rooms ABC, XYZ days, and I've never heard those things. We wanted to be sure that was never, ever happened. We didn't have to hear those words anymore. Just as simple people, how do you convey that particular kind of message to the still suffering? We just wanted to be able to transmit that from the big book by studying it. And each time we went through it, we were able to see something different, something spiritually different, because we're all on a different spiritual plane. And it blossomed from there. There are 7,200 members here. There's 400 to 500 people on the first 7 a.m. meeting. There's over 250 on this particular meeting on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, and then we have a Sunday special edition. How in the world are there these opportunities where there really isn't any trouble, the least organized? Because we're a big book study, we're the group that's beyond the group level or the group that's different than regions or intergroups and things like that. We are simply a study group where the persons and the people that are attached to outside the groups and the rooms to just study the way in which to recover, and that we can bring that into all the rest of the things that we do within the organization of OA. So we don't even have to be looked at or considered, you know, in that organizational sense, because there doesn't seem to be any reason to look at it any differently when the prime focus is for the suffering person, to see how we can get the instructions of the big book to them. And I have been so privileged to be a part of this all these 8 years. It's a blessing, a blessing. I would not be where I'm at today. I am clearly aware of that. Would not be where I'm at today had it not been for this particular big book study and that it passed.
Thank you, Melanie C., and happy anniversary, 8th anniversary to A Vision for You. Stay tuned, especially on Sunday. All right, Linnea B., you're up, and we might have time for one more. Go ahead, Linnea B., good morning.
Good morning. My name is Linnea B. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm in the midst of my step 9 right now. So I'm so grateful to be here, and so grateful to be abstinent and to have a solution. My personal recovery, which means escape from hell, escape from desperation, despair, escape from hopelessness, is dependent on OA unity. It's dependent on a group where the solution is talked about and shared and studied. I'm so grateful to A Vision for You for that. I can, it's just been a lifesaver for me. And I think about how 85 years ago when AA started, and then 70 years ago when the traditions were accepted and became part of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I think, my gosh, for 70 years, these traditions have been in place, keeping a 12-step program alive to avert misery and death for millions. It's just, it is a phenomenal, phenomenal blessing and a phenomenal thing, and I am forever grateful to the wisdom of these traditions. And I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Linnea B. And we have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like to jump in?
Reggie O.
Good morning, Reggie. Yes, please.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Sherry. Thanks so much for your service and everybody who's on the line this morning. And I, you know, I think mostly I just wanted to say, you know, happy anniversary to A Vision for You, and how deeply grateful I am for this meeting that started before I got to it, years before I got to it, but that made a decision to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is what all other 12 steps, I think, are based on. Essentially the 12 steps, even though that's not always what's practiced. You know, it says that, you know, the fifth tradition is each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. That's why we exist, you know. We exist, and the message that we carry is the message that is in the big book. It is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. How, you know, now thousands, hundreds of thousands, I don't know, in the millions of people have recovered from compulsive overeating. But to have that primary focus, I think I read that, you know, I mean, I kind of in myself, I read that in the traditions. If we're carrying the message of Overeaters Anonymous, you know, based on the big book, that's what we do. You know, we study, we practice the principles, and we work through the steps over and over and over again. And like any living document, which I do believe that the big book is a living document, as are, you know, I think the Bible's a living document. There are other living documents out there. And every time it's read, I mean, every paragraph, every time a paragraph is read, you know, when we're studying it and practicing it, it opens up and there's more to be seen, you know, more light that is shared. And it is, we do carry here, you know, in this meeting, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, including the special edition, we do carry the real message of recovery, which is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous and the 12 traditions. Help us to maintain and keep that course and stay that purpose. So I'm just deeply grateful for the message and to have found
time,
this meeting, and that it just keeps going on. And I pass.
Thank you, Reggie O. And happy anniversary to all of us. All of us on this line and all of who want to come and join us and who are out there. We pray for all of us. Anyhow, thank you so much, everybody. And we're going to be ending now. It was a great meeting this morning. And now we will now have Lynette P. read from A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Reading from our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then, and then that will be followed by our serenity prayer. Good morning, Lynette.
Good morning, Sherry. Thanks again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and pass, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.